Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, August 22nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook, just www.facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And our call name there at our Twitter is @backyardpoultry. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on, like today. All you have to do is scroll down a little bit if you're listening live. Right at the bottom of the chat room window, it says Register with Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro. Nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a great show lined up for you today, being Monday, which means we've got Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, will be joining us here about 20 past the hour. He's going to be talking about CRD, if you're not familiar with that, chronic respiratory disease. And then he's got a short little topic he's going to discuss before we get into CRD today. So I hope you brought your notepad and pencil, as always, to the radio show. Because we do have the experts in their field join us Monday through Friday right here on Blog Talk Radio to share all of their knowledge about backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and, of course, preparedness. But, of course, the show cannot go on without introducing my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, lady and compost queen herself, Pat Forman.
Hey, hey, Whisper, yeah. Did you have a great weekend? I bet you got a lot done and still rested, didn't you?
We did have a pretty good weekend, and it was too short, as most weekends are, but we did. We had a fabulous weekend, and we're looking forward to it was well-needed after last week, a well-needed weekend. But, of course, we're looking for this weekend, looking forward to this weekend as well, but it's only 5 days away, but it's going to fly by because we have a fabulous week this week with all of our wonderful guests. So, but, no, I did have a good weekend. How about yourself?
Oh, it was a what? I feel like I've had about a month's vacation with this one, Whisper. I promised myself I was not going to turn the computer on all weekend, definitely. And I held to that pretty much. And so I had a cyber break as well as a psychological break, and it was just there was a old fashioned kind of ice cream social out at one of the community centers, and there must have been most of Rockbridge County there, and it was there was live music, and they had pork barbecue, and of course homemade ice cream that they've been making for like forever, and it was just such a wonderful sense of community and seeing so many people I hadn't seen for a long, long time, and there were probably I'd guess 300, maybe 400 people throughout the course of the day there, so that was always really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then Sunday slept quite a bit of the day. I love sleeping. It's one of my favorite pastimes. I just love taking naps. So I just let myself read. I read a couple of different books. Got caught up a little bit on some magazines and just coasted. And it was. Oh, and the other thing I got to do is mow. I mowed about 3 or 4 acres bush hogged, and there's something so nice about mowing. It's therapeutic, I think. You probably know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Where it looks so shaggy and like it needs a really bad haircut. Even then afterwards it looks so tidy and all the little rows. So that was a nice sense of just me and my tractor.
Absolutely. Me and my tractor at one out in the field. Absolutely. It is very therapeutic. You can sit out there, look at the sunrise or the sunset because it's too doggone hot to be out there during the day. And so you've got beautiful scenery and it gives you time to think and either plan your day or reflect over the day you just had. And absolutely. I completely agree.
It's almost like there's something so meditative about it. You have to be alert, and yet you can't really think about stuff too much. So random thoughts tend to come in, my little brain anyway, which is good. I mean, where'd that idea come from? That's a great idea.
as long as
my weekend.
Just to make sure that it's therapeutic for you and because you enjoy it, not because the exhaust pipe has a leak and you're inhaling fumes. Just want to make sure that that's the case.
No. It's
getting a little high there on fumes from the tractor, and you're in
like
aura.
You know what's remarkable is I'm up pretty much pre-dawn every day, and I like to take a little walk and sort of start my day with kind of a meditative walk. And if a single car or truck goes by, it smells so strong, even the dog sneezes type of thing. It's just amazing how much sort of the odors that just one vehicle, when the air is clean, and then they go by. Later on in the day, I don't notice it, but the first thing in the morning, it's really evident. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah,
get out there on the tractor. Hey, I want to take a moment. We have a lot of guests in the chat room this morning. I did post this show on a lot of the Facebook chicken groups across the board because I know today's topic with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, will interest everybody who owns chickens. And so I just want to take this moment again to invite all the guests to register. It literally just takes one moment. At the very bottom of the chat room, you can see register now with Blog Talk Radio. And you just take a moment to do that. That'll get you your fun, creative, neat old screen name like the rest of us have in there. And you can participate in the chat other than just hanging out in there and watching. But if you're a little shy, we understand you want to try it out today, and then we invite you to come back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We can go over the guests this week. I believe we've got, tomorrow is it the SPPA, Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, I believe, tomorrow, Pat.
Yes, and we'll be talking about the Oriental game birds tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oriental game birds tomorrow. And then, Wednesday, did you line up for somebody for Wednesday? Did I remember that correctly or no?
Yes, we have the publisher of the Poultry Press.
That's right.
Jesse lined that up. And so Jesse will be the co-host tomorrow and
Wednesday
while you're out being a star. So
fabulous.
We'll keep the home bases.
Very good. Yeah, Poultry Press founder. Very good. And then Thursday, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, and another fun Friday with lots of great prizes to give away this Friday from our sponsors. So a jam-packed week. As Pat mentioned, I will be on the road. I'll be maybe even heading out a little bit earlier from the show today. I've got a few more things to do. We're hoping to hit the road at 2. We are heading up to Columbia, South Carolina today. I have an event tomorrow with many feed and seed store owners in both North and South Carolina. It's a big, like a little convention there in Columbia with ManaPro, and I'll be there speaking for a little bit about backyard poultry, who keeps backyard poultry, why they keep backyard poultry, how to reach the backyard poultry folks. I'll be explaining to the dealers about a lot of the ManaPro poultry products and how they can carry it, why they want to carry it, how they can educate them on the product so they can share that with the customers that they have that come in their store. So I'm really, really looking forward to it and meeting lots of great dealers in the North and South Carolina area. And so I will be out of the loop tomorrow, and I'll be out of the loop on Wednesday. But I'll return Thursday with, of course, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. So, but Pat and Jesse, they are very capable, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that with them tomorrow with Christine Heinrich with SBPA and Wednesday with the great folks, the Wolves over at Poultry Press. So I'm sure you will have have a good time the next couple of days. And thank you very much, Tater Farm in the chat room, for praying for safe travels. And we do appreciate that. It will be me and my wife and my son, Caleb. Nope, no CW the next couple of days, but that's okay. It's not a problem. Like I said, you'll be in capable hands with Pat and Jesse. I don't have, I was reviewing earlier today, I don't have a lot of chickens in the news, Pat, today. In fact, I don't have any, but I do have some announcements to make in place of that while we wait on Peter to come on about 20 after or so. Let me get over to my Facebook page. We invite you to join us on Facebook at facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And just a few announcements here as we go. I want to remind everybody, this is I think, the first of its kind, which makes it very exciting. ManaPro has a Facebook page now called The Happy Homesteader. The Happy Homesteader. And ManaPro is giving away a $5,000. Yep, you heard that right. Amazing. $5,000 homestead makeover. Yes, absolutely. How cool is that? You can go to facebook.com/ the Happy Homesteader, or that's their website, and you can click on how to win that $5,000 homestead makeover from ManaPro. How cool is that? Or you can just go to manapro.com, and then you'll see it there on their homepage about how you can enter into the Happy Homesteader $5,000 homestead makeover. Who couldn't use $5,000 to do something on their homestead, whether it be, holy cow, put in a well, get some new chicken coops, maybe you've always wanted to start bees, maybe you've wanted to put in a irrigation system, maybe you've wanted to put up a hoop house or a real heated running greenhouse. Maybe it's endless of what you may want to do. You want a log splitter, $5,000 homestead makeover with ManaPro. How cool is that? And you can get that information at manapro.com or go to Facebook and search The Happy Homesteader. Wanted to share that with you, of course. Want to scroll down a little bit more. Another announcement, and I noticed this week. First time I think I've announced it on the radio show, though. But of course, y'all know my book's released. Many of you have already received it. I'm getting great reviews via email and chats about that. Thank you very much for your wonderful and pleasant reviews. And I appreciate that. But also, I don't think I've made this announcement on the show before, but the book is also available on Kindle, which is very cool. And a lot of people don't want to buy the actual books and lug them around. They already have a Kindle. So you can also get that at Amazon.com as well. You can either get the physical book or you can get the Kindle. If you come out and meet me on the road, I will autograph the back of your Kindle and says... Since you don't have a book that I can actually autograph, just turn that Kindle over, and I will have my Sharpie with me, and I'll autograph the back of your Kindle. How about that? I mean, what are you going to do? So the book's inside the Kindle. So yeah, you can get the book on Kindle as well if you would rather do it that way than have the actual and physical book to bring on the road for me to autograph. But lots of good reviews regarding that. I wanted to send that out. Let's see, there was some others I wanted to send out as well. Let me get over to my personal page. I wanted to send a shout-out, so give me just a second while I do this. I love the emails I get and the posts that I receive on Facebook from all of our great fans, Pat. This comes to us. Now I hope he doesn't I hope he doesn't get excited and run off the road by any means, but I want to send a shout-out to my friend Mark Dean send out a shout out. Let me get back over to my profile here. It disappeared here for a second. There we go. Perfect. Mark Dean, and he is an over-the-road truck driver and trainer. So he trains all those great guys out there on the road that keep America running and keep our grocery stores stocked. And so, but Mark Dean, an over-the-road truck driver and trainer, he said he listens to the archives. It gives me comfort listening to you guys. I feel like I know y'all personally, and it helps pass the long nights when I'm on the road. I do learn a lot. He says, I do learn a lot as I laugh at your and Pat's antics. who can help but to laugh at our antics and, of course, Pat's bad jokes. But that's nonetheless. says, I would like to hear more on turkeys and rare breeds. And he goes on to list some of the breeds that he actually does raise, including turkeys and as well as a garden. Thank you very much for the entertainment. So I'm not sure how far back in the archives Mark is listening, but again, he'll eventually, maybe he listens to it daily. But while he's on the road, I want to send out a shout-out to Mark Dean. Mark, if you're listening now and it is safe, I want you to reach up with your left hand and give me a couple of toots on that big air horn, why don't you? One for CW and Pat here at Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Don't scare the car in front of you into running off the road with the loud air horn, but give me a couple of toots for there's the air horn on your big rig. So we appreciate that comment, and we're so glad that you listened. So I wanted to send that shout out for sure, and to a fan. And let me see if there was something else I was going to give as far as an update. You got any events coming up, Pat? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Speaking of events, it's in the planning stages right now. I feel very confident that it might work out. You know, I'm going to be in Columbia, South Carolina. Whenever I post things like this, if I get a pretty good response back, then we normally schedule like little events at restaurants like Chicken Wings with the Chicken Whisperer and whatnot, where people can come out and we can all just talk chicken over chicken at a local restaurant. But other events, I think the next one after this, we're going to have a Tractor Supply grand opening up in Canton, Georgia. It's actually a little town called Freehome, just outside of Canton, and there's a Tractor Supply grand opening. They've invited me to come up and broadcast the radio show live and do a book signing and an autograph and picture session there during their grand opening, and I believe that's going to be on, let me open my calendar here, October... I believe it's October the 8th, if memory serves. And so we've got that coming up. And then, of course, me and Jen and Caleb are going to do our best to attend Crossroads up in Indianapolis that last weekend in October, the 28th, 29th, and 30th. We're going to do our best. In fact, we may take that entire week ahead of that weekend and do a little mini book tour and start maybe down in Titusville, Florida with our sponsor, Brency, come up into Savannah to our sponsor, GQF, and then come up maybe 75 and hit other Tractor Supply stores on our way up and then use Crossroads Poultry Show, which is going to be Mammoth, as kind of our base camp there when we end the little mini book tour up the East Coast. So that's what we may be doing in the future if you wanted to know, and you can always tune in here every day at noon and hear Pat and I yap about backyard poultry, but we also welcome the experts in their field. Pat, you have any events coming up before we head to commercial and bring our good friend Peter Brown on?
Yeah, Whisper, thanks for asking. There's some really random ones and there's some really solid ones, but one of them, one of that came up at the Ice Cream Social, you know, and what they want to do is, this is so funny, Whisper, they want to do some flash dances here in Lexington and Rockbridge County at the local grocery store in downtown, maybe Tractor Supply, I'm not sure what all, but they want to have a chicken there. Somehow they're going to have a wheelbarrow or something. They want to have a chicken as part of the flash dance. So I thought that was really, really an interesting thing. So I've got this one really flashy, showy rooster that would be, I think, a good candidate for a flash dance participation. Oh, gosh. And then the other thing is there's a community festival coming up in Lexington. It's August 27th. And the Rockbridge Area Conservation Council and so the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club are sort of going together. They're going to demonstrate composting and how biomass recycling can be done with chickens. So they'll have two or three chickens down there at the booth and some deep litter and showing them how they can help to turn trash into compost. And then the other things that are coming up is I'll be in Indiana, probably at one of the centers there doing a talk, but this Saturday the 10th is a huge Saturday here at the Horse Center and at Polyface Farm. Sally Fallon from Weston A. Price Foundation will be at the Polyface doing a fundraiser, and then Wendell Berry will be at the Horse Farm doing a talk. Wendell Berry is one of my favorite authors. I just have so much respect for his work, and he was just honored at the White House for his work. He will be at the American Draft Animal Days giving a talk at 7:30 on that Saturday, and he'll be talking about, of course, local and sustainable farming on that. And then if I can just go on a little bit further in September, There'll be at the Mother Earth News Festival. This is September 23rd through the 25th. I'll be doing three workshops up there in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. I'm going to do one on chicken whispering. It's called Chicken Whisper, the Chicken You Never Knew, is one of the subtitles. And one on gardening with and for chickens. And then the other is Chicken and You. And then the week of the 16th, 17th, and 18th, I'll be at the Pennsylvania Renewable Energy and Sustainable Lifestyles, doing three festivals up there for that one weekend. I'm also going to try to be at Crossroads in October, the 27th and 28th. And then the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy will be coming up November 11th and 12th. And gosh, Whisper, after that, I'm going on a five-week book tour out in California. So
nice.
I'm so excited about that. Five-week book tour. It's sponsored by the Permaculture Guild. There are different guilds out there, so I'll just be going up and down the state doing workshops and book signings, and they have a network that I guess is just going to take really good care of me. So I'll know more about the details on that. So then that'll go through mid-December, and I'll be back mid-December in time for Christmas with my family. So that's kind of what's coming up. It's going to be a super busy fall.
Wait. Did you say Christmas? Did you say Christmas?
Here we go. I'll get my jingle.
Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And Pat, you are back live with us now. We appreciate you staying with us. And wow, the chat room is very, very lively today as I look in there. And we've got, of course, got myself and Pat and CJ, 1956, Critter Lover, Schmack, and Dragonflyer, and East Dallas Dave, Fall Chick, Green Atlanta 50, Green at 50, Grover's in there, and many, many guests. We invite you to take a moment to register. And then Kevin's in there from Bakersfield, California, and Kara, and Love for Poultry, Marge, and Midnights, and Ralph, and Simply Splendid Silkies, Tater Farm, Vault's View, and Walter is in there. So thank you very much all for hanging out in the chat room. There's many, many other listeners that are unfortunately unable to join us in the chat. We've had some long-time chicken chatineers in the chat room that no longer can chat because their work has banned the chat room. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That is just amazing. So let me get back up here over to the switchboard. And I'm trying to see, there we go. I think this is Peter's number. Hey, Peter, you're live with and myself and Pat. Is that you?
That's me. How you doing,
Andy? All righty, good. I'm doing well. Thank you very much for joining us. I know technically we were going to start off, and we will start today talking about CRD, but there was something last minute because, you know, it's great to have you on every Monday because you're seeing things that occur and you wanted to talk about a little bit something else to start off the show with, so we can do that.
Okay. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Peter. Always great to have you on the show. I learned so much from you.
Good to be here.
Peter, today, yeah.
I had emailed Andy earlier. I know we're going to get on to the CRD part of this thing, but in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, I've dealt with several cases of fly strike, and I don't know if anybody knows, you know, what it is or whatever, but we take a few minutes to go over it because it's really, really important. Fly strike generally happens to chickens. It's more uncommon in chickens, but it does happen. I've probably seen more of it this year than any other year over the last 10 years. But what it basically is birds get a dirty back end, and it isn't cleaned off and that kind of thing, and then the flies take over, and in the feathers and stuff, and down on the skin, they lay their eggs, and then the eggs turn into maggots, and the maggots start to eat the bird from the outside in. And so if it's not taken care of, you know, you can have a dead bird, and you'll be wondering if the bird died, and then the maggots took over afterward, and that's probably not the case. So when you've got a bird that's got a dirty back end, I would suggest that you tend to that dirty back end and get the problem there straightened out, or you will more than likely find that the flies will move in and make a home and set this bird up for being destroyed. So once you find out that you've got a fly strike problem, the earlier you catch it, obviously, like any other disease problem or abnormality, the quicker you get it under control, the better off you're going to be. The treatment for it to get rid of the maggots, as ugly and as creepy as they are, is basically to take a couple of quarts of water, maybe a gallon of water or so, and warm water at that, and some Dawn dish detergent, and clean the back end off, get the manure and everything else off off the bird, and then take another clean container and put some more water in it, maybe a gallon or so, and put some sea salt in it, probably around a tablespoon or so, and dissolve it in the warm water, and let the bird soak in that and make sure the wound is covered with the sea salt. This will liven up the maggots and in most cases drive them out of the wound. It may not drive all of them out, but it's a good way to get started. Let it soak in there for 10 to 15 minutes, and then re-examine the wound. The problem with maggots is they're not all the same size. The smaller ones can be difficult to see. It might even take a magnifying glass or such to see if the wound is completely cleaned out. A tweezer can be handy to grab them, and just let them float around in the water until you're done, and then dispose of them whichever way you see fit. Hopefully, it never happens to you, but we've dealt with 3-4 cases here in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, and I thought it was worth mentioning here on the show today to get started with. Again, it doesn't have to happen if you're paying attention to your flock. You know, in the past, I've talked about taking a 5-gallon bucket, sitting out in the yard or in the hen house or in a run or anywhere where you can observe your birds and watch. Handle your birds on a weekly basis when it's the opportunity arises, and you can head off these kinds of things that can be very difficult to deal with. I know I don't like maggots. Every time I've ever seen one, give me the creeps. But this is one way to deal with it. The wound, I would let it air dry for the most part. Keep the bird in an indoor environment that will be fly free, because they will attack again and attack that wound. Once the wound starts to heal, after maybe 24 to 48 hours, and the tissue starts to growth starts to regranulate, you can take some antibiotic ointment and put it on there. But you want to keep it so that there won't be any flies or anything. To turn the bird back out in the barnyard would be crazy, because they'll go right back to it, and they seem to be drawn to this type of thing. And it doesn't matter whether it's fresh tissue or it's dead tissue; maggots will eat it either way. So just keep an eye on it. Don't let it happen to you. It's not necessary to happen. You might want to keep the bird comfortable after that. Keep checking it. If you think an antibiotic is necessary, one of the best you can use is cephalexin. Smaller birds, pound, pound and a half, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, even 4 pounds, 250 milligrams once a day. You get over 5 pounds, they can usually tolerate 250 milligrams of cephalexin twice a day, and I'd keep that up for about 10 days or so, and hopefully everything will turn out okay.
Peter, I was taking notes fast. Did you say if they're over 5 pounds, you can boost the cephalexin to 500 milligrams twice a day?
250 twice a day.
250 twice a day for a total
right.
of 500.
For a total of 500, yeah.
Okay. Wow. And then just to recap, Peter, this is really important, and I've got to tell you, at one point I was working with a veterinarian, and this fly strike can also happen to dogs.
Dogs, cats, sheep, deer, rabbits, just about anything that hangs outside has an area where the flies will be attracted to, whether that be on a dog, it could be a hot spot from fleas, anything like that. And they just set up shop, and it doesn't take long, and they're voracious eaters.
Yeah, and they'll tunnel right under the skin. Yeah, I mean,
yep. Right into the flesh and set up shop and make, you know, that's their home. And so it's sometimes it, you know, you may not notice anything, until it may be close to being too late. But for mostly with chickens, you'll notice it on birds that have a problem with an intestinal problem where they've got diarrhea that's sticking to the feathers and that type of thing.
Do you recommend, Peter, if they do have that diarrhea, of just going ahead and plucking those rear feathers out if it's a chronic diarrhea kind of thing problem?
I would try to solve the diarrhea problem first. If you want to start out with apple cider vinegar, about 20 cc's of apple cider vinegar in a gallon of water should be sufficient, and see if that does it. Change the pH of the intestine, see if that makes a difference. If you're feeding a lot of melon, a lot of veggies and that kind of stuff, pull them away from them for a while, see if that doesn't tighten up the droppings as well. Look for worms, coccidiosis, things of that nature that would lend itself to giving you that loose type dropping. Certainly could be a bacterial infection in the gut, so therefore you might want to medicate. But I'd start out with the apple cider vinegar first, and about 20 cc's per gallon, and see what that does for you, and then go accordingly. Medication isn't always the answer. You might even want to try after the apple cider vinegar, come right back in with a good probiotic and a drinking water, maybe all that's necessary. It isn't always a thing where you need to have an antibiotic. You could come back in. If the apple cider vinegar doesn't work, I would switch off to maybe some oxine. If the oxine doesn't work, you know, I would try a probiotic. And the last choice would probably be one of the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then just to reiterate, because it went by kind of fast, and I really think this is so important, you said to give them a bath with just some baby soap, and then to keep them underwater for, what would you say, 15 minutes to kind of flush out some of the maggots?
Yeah, 15 minutes. You want to try to drown or to flush the maggots out. Makes it a lot easier than you having to go in and pull them all out. But yeah, you might have to, you know, go in with a tweezer and pull out certainly the smaller ones. Because if you leave anything behind, and this is going to be difficult to, this is going to be, you know, difficult to get them all out in one fell swoop, depending on the condition of the bird. If the bird is real perky yet and still in good condition and the wound isn't real deep, you'll probably be able to do it in one sitting. Sometimes it might take several days to get it all under control.
And then doing a bath each day just to kind of flush a little more out?
I'd probably do the bath once, maybe twice a day. Again, you have to evaluate it depending on how bad the situation is. The worse the situation, the more often I would do the bath, because you want to get them out as quick as you can.
Sure.
You know, like I said, they are voracious eaters. A small hole today can be a big one tomorrow. And you know, and it may take a magnifying glass to look and see into the wound itself to make sure that you've got them all out of there. Mm-hmm. I know somebody that had to do it to a cat, and it's not fun. Cats don't like it, and it wasn't a house cat; it was an outdoor cat. So, I mean, just doing that alone on a cat that's not overly friendly in the first place, can be a tough deal. So. But it does happen to other animals. Horses can do the same thing. If they got just got a place for them to do cattle. So it's just a good idea to check your animals over from time to time. The more often you do it, the less problems you usually have, or you can head them off before they become real real big problems.
Right. Excellent. Well, thanks for bringing that up. This is the season for the flies, and that's I've seen that in several other people's animals, and it's really awful. And you can smell it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can smell it because of the way the maggots are. It is kind of a special smell. Once you really get a good whiff of it, I don't think you'll forget it too soon.
No, great. Well, good point.
It is one of those things, you know, that is really nasty. I'm not big on snakes and critters and stuff myself, so. When my first experience with mites when I went to college, had us looking at some birds to see if they were in production and stuff, and I picked up this barred Plymouth Rock, and prior to that I had never seen a mite except in a book, and they crawled right up my arm, and all night long in that class, this I felt like I had stuff crawling all over me, and there was nothing on me. But by God, I'd have swore to it that I'd have paid money to tell you that it was that definitely was going on. But I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. The bad part about it was I worked nights, went to school nights in the very beginning, so I had to go to my job that way.
itching and scratching,
when nothing was there. Yeah. But
it's itchy just talking about it. It's making
and maggots are just so disgusting, you know. I don't know. It's just something about them that just not overly appealing to me. So.
Hey, Peter, before we get into our topic for today, the CRD, we do have a caller, regular listener and a very avid show poultry young man, and has a question for you that he wants to it's a very good question. And Brighton, are you on the line?
Yep.
Hey, Brighton, how you doing, big man? Hey, you're live on the air with Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. You have a fabulous question. Go ahead and ask it for Peter.
Okay.
Do chickens get fevers like humans when they're sick?
Yeah, they actually do. Several diseases can cause it. One that comes to mind right away and is a tip-off for the particular disease would be fowl cholera. It's an aggressive bacteria. Pasteurella multifida is the active bacteria. And when you pick them up, they will be hot to the touch, much more so than they would be normally if they weren't running a fever. So the answer to your question is yes, they do. And anytime you pick up a bird, if you pick them up long enough, you'll get a feel for what normal is. And when you pick up one that's sick and is running an actual fever, then you will be able to tell the difference between the two. Okay?
All righty. Perfect. Very good. Thank you for
That is a good question.
It is a good question.
Most people
Peter, can you take the temperature of a bird? Just put the thermometer under its wing, kind of thing, to get a reading on it. If you don't have
I think you could do that. I'm not sure how accurate it would be. But if you even got close, I think you would be fine.
So 104, would that be considered high? I mean, that's normal for a broody hen, but...
I'm not going to give an exact number because I've read several different things over the years between, like, 103, 106. So I would say if it's grossly over, the 104... I would be concerned, and not only that, the when you pick a bird up, you can tell when they're hot.
Yeah.
I mean, and you really can. And if you suspect that there's something going on, then it would be wise to look the bird over from top to bottom, check everything, check the vent, check the mouth. Some of the things that we talked about last week in the digestive system, look for canker in the mouth. Swollen sinus cavities, abnormalities in the eyes, snotty nose, foul smell from the mouth, all of these things. Is the crop full? Is the crop empty? What do the droppings look like? All of these things are tip-offs to you as to what may or may not be going on with the bird. But you generally can tell when they're hot. I mean, I've picked up birds that have had foul collar and they felt like they were on fire. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just such a big difference in the, you know, from the normal temperature that they would normally exhibit.
Okay. And one more quick question from Brighton. Brighton, go ahead.
Can you give them Tylenol like a kid?
I would prefer, because I have no experience giving them Tylenol. I'm sure somebody else would probably say yes, but I like to go with things that I know. A bear baby aspirin is sufficient. We talked about this back during the time when we were going over how to treat birds and how to keep them cooler in the hot weather. And you definitely can give them aspirin without any trouble whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I do have it in a liquid form to just put it in the drinking water.
Oh, that's awesome. Very, that's awesome. Very good information. Very good. Thank you, Brighton, for calling in. And I have those two wonderful questions for Peter Brown. All righty. Let's continue.
Okay. So chronic respiratory disease. Interesting disease. The term chronic respiratory disease is kind of antiquated and old. The thinking is it came along when nobody else knew what was causing this particular disease. All they knew is that it was chronic and it stayed in the respiratory system. It wasn't until it was originally thought that the disease organism was a virus. And the reason they thought that is that it took an electron microscope to actually see it. And it wasn't until the advent of the electron microscope that they actually discovered what it was. And lo and behold, it was not a virus. It was actually what's called a mycoplasmal bacteria. And the word mycoplasmal really just means that it's small and that it has no cell wall. And so even if you go to any of the disease books and you look it up, you won't find it under, as a general rule, under chronic respiratory disease. You will find it under mycoplasmosis, okay, or mycoplasma or something along those lines. And that's because they have named the disease organism that causes part of the disease, and I'll go into all of this here in a second, Mycoplasma gallisepticum. Now, you all don't need to remember that big old name. I'm just throwing it out there because that's what the scientific terminology is for one of the disease organisms that causes what you would consider chronic respiratory disease. Chronic respiratory disease, to have a true case of chronic respiratory disease, is basically made up of two different disease organisms, one being the Mycoplasma gallisepticum, which we've shortened up to call MG, okay? And then the other one with that would be E. coli. The presence of the two is a true case of chronic respiratory disease, or CRD, okay? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people will lump it all together, as they do with Marek's. They lump Marek's and lymphoid leucosis all into the same thing when they're truly separate, okay? If you have a bird and the laboratory comes back and it says that you are positive for MG and they don't mention anything about E. coli other than in the intestinal tract, and we'll go into that in a minute too, then you have a case of what we call mycoplasmosis. And that means that you just have the mycoplasma all by itself. And then when you take the MG and then you complicate that with E. coli, then you have your true case of CRD that we've been talking about here in the beginning. Now, sometimes people will say your bird's tested positive for MG and you've got a case of aerosaculitis. Well, then I want to know, if we truly have just the MG, or have you found E. coli? Because E. coli by itself, without the presence of the MG, and being located in the respiratory system, predominantly in the air sacs and so on, then you would have a true case of air sacculitis. And that's E. coli by itself, just in the respiratory system, without any of the add-ons of the mycoplasma or anything else. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, if you take and you have E. coli isolated from the intestine, it depends on whether or not the E. coli is actually causing a disease by itself. Well, let's assume for the moment that it is, and you've got a white diarrhea, and they isolate the E. coli from it, and then you have a case of coli bacillosis, and that generally is in the intestinal tract all by itself, uncomplicated, generally without anything else. So it's an interesting
disease.
What
was the last word on that, Peter? Coli bacillosis?
Coli bacillosis.
Yep. Could you spell that?
C-O-L-I-B-A-C-I-L-O-S-I-S, I believe.
Coli bacillosis. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't spell it one every day.
I could.
But and that would give you a white diarrhea, and you would not have any respiratory symptoms at all. Okay, you wouldn't have any sneezing or anything like that. You would just have a white diarrhea that may or may not stick to the feathers. Usually, we see it as a very loose white diarrhea. Okay, but in itself, located in the intestine, has nothing to do with chronic respiratory disease. Okay. To take it one step further, if you looked at having an E. coli infection in the oviduct, which is common in humans as well as chickens, then you would have a case of salpingitis. And that causes problems in the oviduct with the deposition of the eggshell, the formation of the egg, whether a bird will become egg-bound, whether we'll get reverse peristalsis in the oviduct, which is a reversing of the egg and forcing the egg back up the oviduct from which it came back into the body cavity. And this is one of the ways that birds become internal layers. Okay? I would say to you, and this is a little bit off subject, but I just want to throw it out there because we were talking about it a little bit. The majority of birds that I have seen over the course of my career and continue to see are not necessarily birds that are egg-bound, but they're birds that are internal layers. And for whatever reason, whether it be some abnormality in the oviduct or some hormonal imbalance of a bird that is either young or old, we see this thing where the deposition of the entire egg complete with shell, or a shellless egg and just the ovum or yolk itself deposited into the body cavity. And if it's just a few of them are done that way, the bird can generally survive. But if there's a lot of them, they'll succumb to peritonitis pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. That's pretty impressive. So now if they do have, they are internal layers, Peter, is there anything you can do to get those eggs so they move the right way?
Not that I'm aware of, because it's a hormonal imbalance as a general rule, or some abnormality within the oviduct itself. One thing you can try to do if the hen is something that you want to save and you're not trying to put it on the dinner table in a week or two. I would force molt the bird, force the bird to stop laying eggs. You don't want to do it so much so that you really force her to drop her feathers, but you want to tell her body that there are not enough nutrients here to keep making eggs, so knock it off. And one of the ways of doing that is to withhold feed and water for 24 hours, and put the bird in a dark out box where it only has no more than 8 hours of light a day. Okay. And I know it sounds difficult, sounds mean. It's not. You're taking extreme measures to try to preserve the bird. But it's done all the time in the commercial poultry industry. When they get a flock of birds that is not laying the way they want it to and the market's down, they'll force molt them much in the same way. And on your second day of the molt type thing, you'll bring the bird back on just scratch grains, no vitamins, electrolytes in the water. Give it all the water it'll drink on the second day and a representative amount of the scratch grains, and hopefully she'll stop laying the eggs. And that may reset the hormonal system when she does come back into production to start depositing the eggs where they belong. Because sometimes what will happen is, if you look at the mechanics of this, the infundibulum, which is the beginning of the oviduct, it's a funnel-shaped organ, and it moves back and forth under what we call the ovary tree, and that's attached to the backbone. And the next ovum to be ovulated is there, and hormonally, it'll be ovulated, and it's supposed to then have the infundibulum open up, and it opens fairly wide, and catch it, much like a catcher's mitt. And then it slides down into the oviduct and so on. It has the white put on in the eggshell and on the membranes and so on and so forth. But when it doesn't happen, when either the infundibulum doesn't open or it opens in the wrong spot, and that ovum is going to be ovulated irregardless, and it drops into the body cavity, and it becomes an internal layer that way as well. I don't see so many of them backing up the oviduct, but we have seen it on occasion. The most common is to drop it right directly into the body cavity. If that keeps happening, the body can't keep up with the absorption of it. Then it becomes an infectious deal, and then they succumb to the infection. A little bit off topic, but it.
Wow. Well, that's that's quite a. Now, that's a lot of work to go through for a bird. So this is a bird that you'd really want to save.
Right.
And is there any genetic links to internal egg laying?
My guess is probably so. I can't say one breed over another. You generally don't see research done on these kinds of things because there's no money in it.
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately, everything, at least in this country, revolves around money. Researchers get paid. For instance, we're going to do a deal here on a show in the very near future and talk about feathers, feather production, feather loss, how they're molted, and how the feathers are put together, what they're made up of, and you know, the different classifications of feathers, and in what order they're molted, so on and so forth. We're going to go through all that, but nobody is, to my knowledge today, is doing any of that stuff. That was all done by the federal government way, way back, because there's no advantage to anybody doing it, because most of the work has been done, you know, and as that kind of who cares about feathers, you know, it's that type of thing. So nobody's going to put the research dollars into it, because there's no research, there's no dollars to be made at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah. Certainly, industry is not going to fund that.
Well, I mean, there's no point. You know, I can see. I mean, we live in a society where corporations and what have you all try to make money, and they're certainly not going to make money on that. I mean, somebody might do it as a fun project or something on the side, but most of your researchers at your universities, their money's not coming from the university per se. It's coming from companies who are supporting the research that they're doing, because they will end up owning the end product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works for the most part. And sometimes some of the research is funded by the federal government as well.
Yeah. Interesting. So you say those studies, if I contacted USDA back in their archives, could they come up with some of those studies? Or?
Let me see here. Hang on, Matt. I'll tell you what book you can get from them. It's actually done in two volumes. It's called Avian Anatomy Integument, Part 1, Agricultural Handbooks 362.
Ag Handbook 362, Avian Anatomy, is that what you said?
Right, and it's the integument system, INTEGUMENT, part one.
Wow, part
yeah.
one.
And this was produced
in 1972. Oh, not that long ago then. Huh.
I'm not sure what printing it is, but I just quickly looked at it. But 1972, so it might still be available. And there's two parts to it, and it doesn't only talk about chickens. It talks about other species of birds and so on and so forth. But it's a great tool to have. Because nobody studies feathers, but I thought it would be an interesting thing for people to know about them, and you know the different parts of the feather and so on and so forth. And you know, I learn at the same time.
Yeah, there's a question in the chat room, Peter. That since we're talking about feathers, it says, do small flock owners do forced molting, or why would they do forced molting? I know certainly racing pigeon people do to get their feathers will be in perfect shape for those races, but
well,
is there any reason why?
Yeah, pigeon people do it to cheat. That's what they generally do.
Cheat?
In other words,
science behind what they do.
If you've got a young bird and they do it, and the reason I know this is that back in, let me look here, get the plaque off the wall so I can tell you what year it was. Back in 1996, I was asked to be part of the American Racing Pigeon Union Drug Task Force Committee, where we formulated drug policy for pigeons. I know this is all off subject, but they like to cheat with pigeons because if you give a corticosteroid in the eye, it can make the birds drop their feathers prematurely. And you might say, well, what the hell does that mean? Well, what it means is that now I have a better set of feathers than my younger counterpart, and I can outfly him. It's kind of like a bird with tattered feathers is not going to fly as fast or as efficient as a bird with a brand new, smooth, slick set of feathers.
Mm-hmm.
So, back in '96, I helped formulate their drug policy, where on major races, because there's a lot of money involved in racing pigeon, and it's part of what's killing it. It's not uncommon to buy a pigeon for $5,000, $10,000. And
really?
Oh yeah, there's a race down around South Africa. I think the purse down there about $1 million. It's big business.
It's big business,
and cheating goes on all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's no big deal. A lot of people might not think, but when you put money out front, the cheaters come out of the woodwork, because everybody's got a game plan on how they can take, whether it be a dog, a horse, or a pigeon, or whatever, and cheat and make some money. It's that way. I'm not saying they're all cheaters. Not at all. But, hell, I've seen clubs close up because they felt that one guy was winning too much.
Really?
And then set the bylaws so that they didn't have to include his area so he couldn't get back in the club.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, it's quite a game, actually.
Kind of takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. And, it's the way people are. It's human nature. Everybody wants to get to the top, no matter how. Anyway, going back to the mycoplasma. So when we talk about mycoplasma, what does it mean to you, other than a big word that's hard to spell? Well,
to me?
What it means to you as a person with poultry is that this bacteria is small, like I said before, similar to the size of a virus. And because it has no cell wall, okay, that's what the two-part mycoplasma means, small like a virus, and it has no cell wall, it is easily disinfected against, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most bacteria will have a cell wall. Let's take coryza, for instance. What makes coryza so nasty and spread like crazy? The fact that it is protected by a cell wall once it's outside the bird's body. So therefore, it can stay viable in litter and on inanimate objects that, you know, including yourself, that would normally, you know, die off relatively quickly. So because of the fact that it has no cell wall, so it's easily disinfected against. But there are other problems that go along with this particular type of a bacteria. Again, it is different than your coryza, which has a cell wall. Coryza spreads very fast, but the mycoplasma bacteria spread slow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have a cell wall. They don't live very well outside the bird's body at all. Okay? So we don't see this rapid-fire, pen-to-pen thing we might see with coryza. With coryza, you can go out today and you got a bird with a snotty nose and a swollen face, and you go out tomorrow and you've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 more with snotty noses, and the next day there's 35 more, and by the end of the week, everybody in the place has got it, and they're all snotting from the nose or coughing and sneezing and so on. With mycoplasma and with the MG specifically, you're not going to see that as a general rule, not unless it's complicated with something else that makes it move quickly and makes it survive. I'll give you a little bit of data here. I don't necessarily need to write it down. It's just interesting data. It's not mine, my own data. It's research data that came from the University of Georgia. They are the resident experts on mycoplasma, basically, in my opinion, worldwide. Doctors Clevin and Glisson have been at the forefront of this disease for many, many years, and are the guys that basically know all about this stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But survival rates for the MG organism outside the bird's body on different inanimate objects can last for 4 days on cotton, 2 days on rubber, 2 days on straw, 8 hours on shavings, 1 day on wood, 4 hours on feed, 4 days on feathers, 3 days on your hair, 4 hours in your ear, 1 day in your nose, less than 4 hours on your skin. Under various conditions, and I said this was easy to disinfect again, okay, under normal sunlight, anywhere from 15 to 120 minutes. Well water, 4 to 5 days. Soil, 1 to 3 days. And under conditions where it's dry, it can last for 60 days. So it doesn't last outside the bird's body very well. It doesn't transfer very well. A bird with an active infection with some snot coming out of its nose or whatever, you know, another bird comes by and takes a drink and consumes it, probably will end up with it, okay?
Mm-hmm. So you need to give them little hankies to make sure they're
and there's another thing about...
Have the hankies available.
There's
tell them to sneeze into their wing and not on...
Yeah. But there's another thing to do that goes along with this. This particular bacteria is highly host-dependent. And what that means is that it needs the chicken to survive. That's why another reason why it doesn't live outside the bird's body very well. It can't synthesize all of the nutrient factors that it needs to survive, and it gets those from the chicken.
Okay, and this is still all the mycoplasma, right?
This is all strictly mycoplasma, which is, you know, you can call it CRD if you want. I don't care. you know, it's not going
to
hurt my
CRD,
feelings.
You had to have E. coli with it, right?
Yeah, and well, it's just that, and there are probably people that might argue that point, but the truth be told, that's what it really is. Like I said, if you look it up under most disease books, you'll find it under mycoplasma, or mycoplasmosis, or you'll find it under Mycoplasma gallisepticum. You'll generally not find it under CRD, or if you do find a CRD, it'll say C. mycoplasmosis or C. Mycoplasma gallisepticum or something like that.
Wow.
It's just an old term. You know, years ago, before they understood anything about coryza, it was always called Roop. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, and today the common term for it today is coryza, just the way it is. And, you know, things change, and they certainly have, you know, in this particular bacteria with this environment. And, excuse me, but mycoplasma is something you see quite a bit in your commercial egg layers. Broiler breeders are generally considered now mostly free of it. They don't want it. Broiler breeders don't lay enough eggs to start with, and the last thing they need is a mycoplasma infection to come along and sap the rest of the eggs that they thought they were going to get.
Wow, yeah. Well, listen, Peter, it's time just to take a short commercial break here. We just have a few more of our sponsors to run.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll have just about 10 minutes to wrap up then. So, our special guest today is Peter Brown. He is the chicken doctor. And we're talking today about respiratory tract diseases and mycoplasma, or CRD. So we'll be right back. Hold on.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, VermexUSA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, welcome back to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And our special guest today is Peter Brown, and we're talking about CRD disease, mycoplasma, and just respiratory tract infections and how you can treat them. So, Peter, you're back on live with us. Yep. Thanks for coming back. We've got just about 8 minutes, Peter. So
do you want to
continue on with mycoplasma?
I will offer the disease poster for free shipping. Again this week, and I will also offer the nest box cover with the perch for $9.95 versus $14.95. So if they want to get those two items, it's still available until the end of the day.
Excellent. And that poster, I've got one right here in my office, and it is really valuable.
All the ones that were ordered were sent out. I wonder if anybody that is in the chat room that got one that can attest to the fact. I mean, I think they're a great tool. And really, say a lot about, the ability then to make your own diagnosis or an assumption anyway as to what's going on. But I think they're just a great tool anyway.
Absolutely. And then, Peter, tell us about your special deal. I think this is one of the best deals in America when it comes to health care advice for chickens.
Oh, if they want to call me and get advice, I charge $25 as a consultation fee. And if they buy the product that's suggested, or if there is a product that's suggested and they buy it from me, then the $25 fee is waived. If they decide that they want to shop around or they don't want to do that, then they will pay me a $25 consultation fee. And I'm very liberal with that from the standpoint that if I cannot help you or I feel like I have not helped you enough, for instance, I've had folks call me that at the end of the conversation, I felt that the bird was, an internal egg layer or so. I don't charge for that as a general rule. It's just, to me, I helped you maybe make the diagnosis that we think is right, but there's no cure for it. So, pardon the pun, but no harm, no foul, so to speak. So, and most people will tell you, I'll be honest with you, I hardly ever collect that $25 fee, just on rare occasion when people do call and want just information or something like that, or certain people will decline it, and that's their option. But do it as a service and to try to make everybody's flock better. That's what it's all about.
It's very clear your passion for poultry, and it's that it's not just about money for you, Peter. I mean, it's really about helping people and providing a service. And there's such a gap, I think, in a lot of the veterinary knowledge about avian flu, because there hasn't been that with the chicken movement just exploding literally across the U.S. I don't think the vets have really kept up with some of the practical, dirt under the fingernails kind of information that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and a lot of this I don't see in any books hardly anywhere. So
no, you won't find it. It's stuff that I've some of the things are things that I've developed over the years just from my own handling of birds and doing postmortems left and right especially when I was a lot younger and had more access to birds. Like I told you, they looked cross-eyed at me. They went to the lab. That was it, And that's how you find out. And I was lucky enough in early in my career to have several veterinarians who kind of just really took me under their wing and said, look, if you want to learn something, we're all for it, And,
nice.
There's
a comment in the chat room, Peter, from Critter Lover. It says, just wanted to say how much she appreciated your help with the little frizzies. frizzles, and they both seem fine now. Thank you. That's from Suzanne, the critter lover in the chat room.
You know, and last week there was somebody that needed some peepers, and they went online, they looked at it, and they didn't hear me say that I would adjust the price on the shipping because the software wants to try to decide what size box something is going to go in, and when things get small, it can't really tell, and so it ends up with a huge shipping cost compared to what the price of the thing costs. I ended up, I emailed her and just told her, give me your address, I'll send them to you free. It was only four or five of them, but that's not the point. The point is, it's not about the money. Never has been. Certainly I'm like anybody else. You got to have money to pay the bills, but
got to pay the bills.
I'm not out here to hold people hostage. They can buy their things where they choose. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if you want to pick my brain and take up my time, then I have to have some sort of way to support myself.
Right. Right. Yeah. We can. But you're doing well while doing good, I hope. I mean,
I'm not accepted for living in the stupid state that I live in. You know that accident that I had? That car
Accident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was awful.
Yeah, I can't collect a dime in the state I live in. How about that?
And you're where?
In the state I live in, the
you're
law.
You're in Georgia,
is,
right?
No, in Maryland.
In Maryland. Oh, okay.
Yep. You can't collect a dime. It cost me $10,000 that day to take a package to FedEx.
Oh, no. Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
Because the law here reads that if you know it's icy and snowing outside, it's an assumed risk. You assume the liability.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's arbitrary, isn't that?
Yeah, my team of lawyers fired me about 4 weeks ago. Told me they didn't have a case.
Gosh.
Anyway, in the next few minutes here, anyway, we
the
can
comment
go
in the chat room that goes, "Ugh, Maryland."
Yeah,
that's kids saying.
Live and learn.
Oh,
so, anyway, what birds does the MG organism affect? Basically, chickens, turkeys, pheasants, Japanese quail, bobwhite quail, peafowl. It's been isolated from ducks, geese, and your citicine birds, which are all your true parrots, parakeets, and macaws. It's been isolated from pigeons. It seems as though, except for turkeys, to my knowledge, they seem to be different, certainly different strains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we can next time we can go into the strain part of it and explain that. But turkeys get
mycoplasma.
Is that
because of the nutrient factor that they can't really live outside the host, Peter? So the mycoplasmins have really specialized to different strains of birds?
No, not necessarily. It's an actually a thing of coming in contact with a disease organism, similar to humans. You can't catch a cold unless you come in contact with the cold organism, the virus or bacteria that's causing it. So, it's the same thing here. Unless you come in contact with the mycoplasma organism, you're not going to get it. But it has an affinity for birds. And
right.
We were talking before about it can't biosynthesize, which is that's the ability to produce
its own stuff.
Yeah, complex compounds that they need to survive. It's kind of like amino acids. Humans can't survive really without amino acids, which are considered to be a lot of people like to call them vitamins, but they're not really vitamins. They're the building blocks of life. They're basically available in every cell, human or otherwise. And you need those things. By eating certain foods, we are able to produce those things for our body. And the mycoplasma organism, the same way, it needs to be in an avian species of some sort, in order to survive. We can talk about it more next week, too. The turkeys are very sensitive to mycoplasma. For instance, down in North Carolina, where they grow a lot of turkeys, you cannot vaccinate chickens for mycoplasma without the state's okay.
Listen, Peter, we've got just about 60 seconds left.
Okay.
So let's pick up with the turkeys maybe the next time, but
okay.
We're going to have to sign off here pretty fast.
Alrighty.
So our special guest today was Peter Brown. He's the chicken doctor with the First State Vet Supply. And, of course, thanks to our chat room chickeneers for clucking along every day and all our listeners. How much do we appreciate you is so much. BlogTalkRadio.com provides the radio, the chat, and the video services. And, of course, Andy Schneider is the chicken whisperer. And, of course, the wind under our wings. Have a safe trip there and safe trip back, Andy. He will be back with us on Thursday. I'm Pat Foreman, and from all of us, blessings to everyone. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.